Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a Friday. We are live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Alex Curry is joining me today on Dodgers-Angels series. Starts tonight. A lot of stars in that series. Bad news for the Lakers. AD got hurt again. Alex, how are you this morning?
I'm doing fabulous, Colin. How are you doing?
Well, it's going to be a big baseball weekend here in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
Angels, Dodgers. Good teams, bad bullpens. So there'll be wild scoring late in games, teams holding on to leads.
Yeah.
We got a couple things. Aaron Rodgers in a second. Let's just start with this. So, I mean, the NBA has been a weird year. I mean, Denver lost their second best player. Brooklyn guys can't stay healthy. Kawhi Leonard's hit and miss. LeBron's been hurt. Now AD got hurt last night. So in the first quarter, they needed him against the Clippers. He gets hurt in the first quarter. He is so injury prone that he literally twisted his ankle, but yet actually left the game because of a back spasm. I mean, it's like that operation game as a kid, like which bone is healthy. They need him tonight. He's 50-50 if he can play. They've needed him when LeBron got hurt. They're 2-6, and he's had the worst point average in his career in a brief stint. Listen, here's the truth about Anthony Davis, is that he's not Tom Brady. He's not Russell Wilson. He's not LeBron James. He doesn't spend millions of dollars a year on his body. He does not. He does not spend millions on his body. He's more like Rasheed Wallace, naturally gifted, not really a number one, more of a brilliant number two. You can't necessarily depend on him physically, but God, he's unbelievably gifted. But Rasheed Wallace used to give the Blazers a check before the start of every season for all the fines for missing working out. He didn't like the weight room. Anthony Davis doesn't either. He is not a grinder. He doesn't take care of his body, and therefore his body doesn't take care of him. That is why he has so many small nagging injuries. You have got to commit to your body. The planes, 33,000 feet. I don't care if it's a private jet. I don't care if it's the team plane. 33,000 down, 33,000 down, 45, 55 times a year, working out, light sleep, luggage to the hotel. It breaks down your body. And the reality is Anthony Davis is just not built to give you 75 games in the regular season and 20 in the postseason. And LeBron is now tied to him for his career because Anthony Davis knew his body gives out in him. He knows his body better than anybody, and he signed a 5-year deal, and LeBron is now tied to him, a guy that's marginally committed, not a number one, a brittle body. And this was supposed to be the year that AD took over. Remember, this was the year. He's 28 years old. They win a title, and there was a sense inside the room, the Lakers room, this is your team. What happened? He came in so-so shape. He got off to a terrible start. He has this year the fewest blocks of his career, the fewest rebounds of his career, the second lowest field goal percentage. He's had a terrible year, and he's missed the most games of his career, and LeBron is tied to him. And you know what this really shows more than anything? And this is such a truism in life. You can run from your problems, but you can't hide from them. LeBron has moved 3 different times, and he can't escape the same issues in the NBA. He went to Miami. D-Wade was old, got hurt a lot. And he goes back to Cleveland. Kyrie was flaky. Kevin Love couldn't stay healthy. Now he moves to Los Angeles. AD, never healthy. And LeBron is trapped because he doesn't want to play with young kids. He doesn't want to teach them basketball. When he went to Los Angeles initially, they had all these kids. Kuzma's the only one left, and he wasn't in love with him. Kuzma's now committed on the defensive end. That makes LeBron happy. But in the end, he would have gotten rid of Kuzma. So he doesn't want to play with young guys. He wants to play with old guys. But old guys are brittle. and stuck in their ways and often flaky and hard to deal with and harder to coach. So LeBron is sort of trapped, and he keeps moving around to solve an issue, and he just finds the same issue in a different city. First, Dwayne Wade was older and couldn't really play at a high level back-to-backs. And then Kevin Love got hurt in Cleveland, and Kyrie was a flake. And now he moves here, and AD sort of marginally committed and can't stay healthy. This is not a championship team this year, and it's the reality of LeBron's career. He now looks old. He feels old. Sometimes he sounds old. He said a couple of weeks ago, I'll never be 100% again. This was going to be the year that AD took over. And instead, once again, LeBron is left with a teammate he can't rely on. He came in marginal shape. This is why he's hurt more than ever. These guys are pampered. They're not supposed to get hurt. You got training staffs looking after him 24/7. AD walks by him all the time. So once again, LeBron moves to solve an issue. And it's the same issue in another location. So the Aaron Rodgers stuff, it's never ending. So right the day of the draft, I thought it was sort of a zany coincidence that a year earlier, the Packers humiliated Aaron Rodgers by drafting Jordan Love. And 1 year later to the day, Aaron Rodgers, I thought, humiliated the Packers. Jay Glazer, Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, all at the exact same time, suddenly broke the story, all connecting to one another like I've never seen in my entire career that Aaron wants out of Green Bay. I don't know who fed him the information. I don't know. I can guess who I think it is. I don't think it's the Packers. But now Aaron's friends are out there. AJ Hawks in our show in 15 minutes. James Jones on the NFL Network saying Aaron didn't leak the story.
I speak with Aaron all the time. I talk to him a lot, and it has nothing to do about getting the GM fired. It has nothing to do about getting a new contract and getting money. You know what I mean? Everything that Aaron Rodgers has done since he's been a Green Bay Packer, this is not him. He's not a guy that's going to go out there and leak all this stuff and say he wants out of there and be giving all this stuff to the media. That's never been him. And the organization side of it comes into place, and you talk about, you know, him and the GM and the head coach working together. I think it's fixable. I think they'll be able to get that stuff done. But I think that's what it's about.
Okay, and that's important. James Jones, who talks to Aaron Rodgers all the time, just said, I think it's fixable. James talks to Aaron. Aaron talks to James. Meaning Aaron's probably told James, it's fixable. Just, you know, go get me Julio Jones, restructure my contract. I've said before, I'd peel the Band-Aid off and move on if Jordan Love can play. If Jordan Love can't play, then you're really screwed. Then you have to figure out how to get Aaron Rodgers back into camp and in Green Bay for years. And we've had how many players have I had on this show over the last month? And what's the question I ask every player? And I preface it by saying to each one of them, I ask every player this. How many days does it take when you draft a player to know that he can play or he can't? And the answer from every player is always shockingly quick. Shockingly quick. Two practices. I asked somebody the other day about Trubisky. Two practices. With Sam Acho. Two practices. You can tell if a quarterback can't play. Well, Green Bay's had Jordan Love there for 150 practices. Don't you think they know the answer? Green Bay doesn't want to move Aaron Rodgers. And because of COVID, none of us were at those Green Bay practices, right? Green Bay knows he can't play. Green Bay knows the answer. They're the only ones that know the answer. They want to make this thing work. They don't want to trade Aaron Rodgers. They've seen 150 practices. You don't think they don't know if he can play or not? Every stinking athlete that comes on this show is like, dude, two practices, guy can make throws or he can't. They got 150 practices, and they're like, I don't know, it could go either way. I don't buy it. I think Green Bay knows Jordan Love can't play and they whiffed. And if that's the case, okay. Everybody makes mistakes in the NFL. The key has always been own it, pivot, and fix it. The Cleveland Browns, to their credit, hired Freddie Kitchens. Oh, crap. This doesn't work. Boom, out, Stefanski. They fixed it. They didn't try to, hey, Freddie Kitchens just needs time. No, Freddie Kitchens needs time to come down to the GM's office and get fired. They fired him. Stefanski's a home run. Arizona, Josh Rosen, doesn't work. Boom. Kyler Murray, think they regret it? By the way, Green Bay rolled the dice. We're going to draft a guy from Utah State who had a marijuana issue. Oh, yeah, two of his 3 years, he wasn't very good. They rolled the dice. They whiffed. It's okay. The Rams signed Jared Goff to a massive contract. Huge deal. 2 years later, we screwed up. Let's go get Matt Stafford. Belichick, not this draft, the previous draft, drafted two tight ends, 10 picks apart from each other. This draft, this free agent period, 9 months later, yeah, I'm going to go get two tight ends. I missed on those guys. Carolina, Teddy Bridgewater. They paid him $31 million. He played 15 games. Carolina's like, yeah, you're not good enough. Let's go get Sam Darnold. The key in this league, everybody makes mistakes. The key is own it, pivot, and get the crap right. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Kyler Murray, just go get the better guy. Kevin Stefanski, get rid of Freddie Kitchens. Everybody makes mistakes. The Murdochs own this company. Some businesses work, some don't. It's just the way it goes. If you're a frenetic and aggressive business person, entrepreneurial, you're going to make some moves that don't work. You can't be afraid. You think business people are afraid of failing? Dana White, UFC. You know, he puts cards up. Sometimes fights are duds. Hopefully more are great. You can find the best baseball scouts. A lot of them missed on Jeter. All right, go get the next guy. But 100 practices with Jordan Love. Would Green Bay be so desperate if they thought the dude can play? Just go trade him. Let him play. You're not paying him anything for years. I mean, to me, this situation more and more, Green Bay clearly doesn't want to move him. We know that. You can read every story. Nobody's saying they do. And now, from an Aaron Rodgers side, James Jones, you're getting it's fixable. So go fix it. Go get Julio Jones. He's on the market. Restructure Aaron Rodgers' contract so you get some cap space. And cut Jordan Love or trade him for a seventh-round pick. That's what New England did with Garoppolo. Tom Brady didn't like it. All right, let's fix the problem. Get a second-round pick, move on, make Tom happy. By the way, Green Bay rolled the dice. They thought Aaron was declining. Oops, he's not. New England thought Tom was declining. Won the Super Bowl against Atlanta. Oops, he's not. Did you watch the games last year? Oops, he's not again. So just own your mistakes. It's no big deal. Nobody's going to eat you. I whiffed on that one. But I think social media freaks everybody out. Oh, my God, I don't want to post this. Everybody will attack me. I get attacked all day on social media. Checks don't bounce. It's fine. Come to work every day. We have fun. Crazy. Just nutty. So Aaron's friends are saying it's fixable. That tells me we're moving. We're inching closer to maybe getting back together again.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I used to not love flying. It's not like I was a nervous flyer, but, you know, heights, didn't love them. And then I kind of attacked it. I bungee jumped. I did a lot of flying. I went to the Space Needle. Anytime I could kind of attack my height thing, I did. And I'm kind of over it.
Good for you.
Yeah, but there was something I learned about myself. It was like I was eighth or ninth grade. I didn't know the name for it, but I was in the gym when I was 8 or 9 years old, and we were playing like hockey on a basketball court. It was great. It was so much fun. I remember this. And I just happened to get lucky and score the winning goal.
Yeah.
And kids jumped on me, and the pile got big, and I freaked out. And I remember just thinking at the bottom of this pile of 20 kids, I can't breathe. I don't like this at all. I didn't know it was called claustrophobia. So I haven't had people pile on me since. But I remember that feeling as a kid kind of getting off the pile, and the teacher came over, the PE teacher, and went, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "I didn't like that." And he's like, "Oh, you're probably claustrophobic. It's okay. A lot of people are." Alex and I were talking during the break. Yep. You're a little claustrophobic.
Oh yeah.
I probably have that, you know, genetically in me. I don't like being trapped.
Yeah, you want to feel like you're free.
You're free. And so, one of the things I've always defended pro athletes on: my career lasts forever. I'm mid-50s. I could do this to mid-80s if I'm alive. I mean, you see Larry King was on the air a week before he died. Like people do, Vin Scully, until he's 80. And so I don't ever feel like I have to win a negotiation or win this or win that. Is that I can be on forever. But if you're a pro athlete, you can feel trapped. I go to a crappy team. The collective bargaining agreement is not pro player. It's pro owner. The NFL's got the weakest union. NBA union, very pro-player. Baseball union, very pro-player. Hell, the umpire union is stronger than the NFL player union. The coaching unions are stronger than the NFL player union. And so sometimes if you're a star player, a quarterback, you feel trapped. I think Russell Wilson's a really good guy, but he's gone public twice. I want more money and I want more players. Why? He's trapped. What are his options? Tom Brady did a documentary, had editing control, made sure everybody in New England saw his wife saying, Gisele Bündchen saying, he wants to be respected. Could this just be Aaron feeling trapped? They won't get him wide receivers. They keep drafting developmental players. He watches Brady, Mahomes, Josh Allen, all their talent. And so he's kind of leaked some stuff here and here and here. And you could say, well, James Jones said he's not leaking stuff. Okay. But didn't Aaron, after the NFC Championship, remember the post-game comments? He kind of put it out there for Green Bay management to kind of understand how he was thinking. Remember this bite.
A lot of guys' futures that are, you know, uncertain, you know, myself included. That's what's sad about it most. Getting this far. Obviously, there's going to be an end to it at some point, whether we make it past this one or not. But just the uncertainty is tough, and the finality of it all.
That's kind of a message. So what do you do? I call it professional claustrophobia. Russell Wilson's always been go Hawks, but he thought he was massively underpaid. And the rumors came out he wanted the Giants. I had two sources on that said it was a real story. By the way, Russell Wilson, unhappy with the offensive line, goes public. Seattle, in both instances, solved it. Brady was unhappy with Jimmy Garoppolo. Those stories made ESPN the magazine. What happened? Garoppolo was traded. Some of this may just be Aaron really doesn't hate Green Bay, but he feels professionally trapped. Okay, restructure my deal. Solve all the issues. It may just be that simple. We all consider today, Aaron wants out. That's all I hear from anybody. Maybe it's Aaron wants a better deal and doesn't want out. Maybe it's, can we restructure my deal, get me Julio Jones, and stop drafting six offensive linemen every year? Can we finally get a corner that's not a reach from Georgia and go and get the best corner, the second round from Georgia, which Urban Meyer and the Jags got? Maybe this is a cry for help. It's a cry for restructuring. It's a little professional claustrophobia.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AJ Hawk is now joining us, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Former Packer, 11 years. Listen, I'm a believer, AJ, you can fix any problem. I tell my kids all the time, hey, there's no unfixable problem. We just had a pandemic. And this morning I went and looked at the Dow Jones, and it's at 35,000, and the economy, people are getting jobs. So I look at the Aaron situation, and there's been some animosity, blah, 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 the Jordan Love pick. Do you believe, though, it is fixable in Green Bay with Aaron and the Packers this morning?
Well, I think I kind of think like you do, where I feel like everything is fixable, right? And when I look at their situation, yeah, I think it's definitely fixable. I don't think there's anything crazy from either side. I think that would just cause someone to break things off completely. But I do think it's an uphill battle. I think the Packers are going to have to figure something out. I don't know what they need to do or how they do it, but I know I'm hopeful as a Packer fan that Aaron's back there.
How about this? I'll throw one at you. You go to Aaron and say, because they could have done this, by the way, 2 months ago. We're going to restructure your deal. It's going to give us cap flexibility. We'll give you more money up front. And we're going to go get Julio Jones with the extra money. He is reportedly on the market. If you go, you know Aaron better than I do, obviously. If you go to him and say, we're going to restructure your deal, 3 years guaranteed, fourth team option, but you give him a lot of money up front. I mean, he's 37. He'd be to 40, 41 years old. We're going to go get Julio Jones. Do you believe? I mean, that's pretty nice. You get the money, you get the star number two or number one. Do you think he would consider signing that deal?
I mean, that's a heck of a situation you laid out there. Yeah, I mean, of course he would love to play with Julio Jones, but I know Aaron has even said before in the past a lot of times too, like, this isn't about the money. Like, I don't think he's trying to break the bank to try to be the highest paid person ever in the history of the NFL. Like, who knows? He should be probably, but I don't know. I don't think that's his top priority by any means, but I don't know if that's a plausible plan, but you know what, Colin? I'm glad you put that out there. Maybe that'll be something that we can watch play out.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't think that's terribly difficult. I think it takes two phone calls, one to Julio's agent and one. And I don't think I laid out something here that's I'm not asking people to, you know, land a plane on the Hudson. That's a pretty easy one. Now, let's be honest about this, though, and this is where I said this before, is that if my company right now, AJ, hired somebody and kind of made it clear that, Colin, you got a couple years left, I'm not throwing a party. Aaron knows he's better than Jordan. That's not the issue. Brady knew he was better than Garoppolo. He still didn't want him hovering over him. Can we acknowledge that drafting Jordan Love just wasn't really smart? You got to know the temperature in the locker room, and Aaron didn't love it. That's fair, right?
Yeah, even if I don't even take into like how Aaron would feel about it. I'm just talking about his play. If you watched what he was able to do, how he was playing and where he was trending, like, I don't think it was the time to draft a quarterback. That's not Jordan Love's fault that he was drafted there. But I think then obviously Aaron comes out and wins the MVP, and we say he's got tons of time left, I think, at an elite level. But I don't think it's about Jordan Love either. Like, I don't think he's asking for Jordan Love to not be on the team. That's not something he's looking to do. I just feel like the Jordan Love situation was one thing in a string of things that have probably built up over the last who knows how many years.
I've said this before. I can be a broadcaster forever. You could be a podcaster for the next 30 years. Where I've always defended pro athletes, and especially NFL quarterbacks, is they're trapped. Hell, they can franchise tag you forever. And Russell Wilson's a nice guy, but he decided a couple years ago, I'm going public with stuff. I'm just going to go public. He did, got a new contract. And then he did it again, and he got a new offensive lineman. And I think Russell's a good guy, but he's trapped. As you know, the player's CBA in the NFL is not the NBA. You don't have the power. By the way, Brady was getting ticked. He did a documentary. He let his wife say in the documentary, he'd like to be a little more respected. Could I not say, and this isn't a criticism of Aaron, but when Aaron talked after the NFC Championship, he planted a seed. And that seed was, guys, I'm kind of trapped here. Could you do me a solid and help me? That was a little bit of a plea for help after that loss. A little bit of a professional claustrophobia is, I can't get out of here. Could you please get me more good players?
I mean, maybe, you know, I know coaches use the media to try to promote whatever the message they want their players to be hearing. So I don't know if Aaron is definitely a calculated person. So that's possible. Anything is possible. But I think it's just, I don't know how you feel, Kyle, but I feel it's crazy that it's come to this point. Like, I feel like, okay, some point along the way, we should have felt this thing rumbling and we should have found a way to make it better and not get to this point where I never thought we'd be.
Do you think Aaron can be a Packer and Brian Gutekunst could remain the general manager, or is that just too severed right now?
I think he absolutely could play for Green Bay with Goody as the GM. I don't think it's about that either. I think I said that earlier this week that I don't see Aaron out there promoting that he wants Goody fired. I know it's been reported from different places, but I guess we'll see whenever Aaron does speak.
When's the last time you and Aaron talked?
What do you consider talk? Text, phone calls? What is in person? I'm in constant, not constant, but I communicate with him a good amount.
What's his mindset today?
That's a good question. Today, I don't know. You know, he's on a different, you know, he's out there West Coast, so 3 hours behind me. So I make sure not to send a text too early and wake him up, you know, 3 a.m. for him. But you know what? I feel like he is very relaxed, and I feel like he's excited, working out, looks good. He looks pretty trim. If you saw those pictures of him at the Derby, looks thin, lean, mean. I think he's ready to roll.
I saw a story yesterday, Aaron booed by fans at a Brewers minor league game amid Packers stare down. Do you think, is he concerned at all that he's being viewed as the bad guy here?
Well, I think that the title of that should probably be video of Aaron doing a commercial gets booed. Do you think if Aaron was standing there at second base, they're going to boo this guy? I don't know. I don't know if it's the same thing there, but I don't even know what your question was now, Colin.
Well, no, I mean, you're right. If he was there, they wouldn't boo. But what it tells me is there are people saying, hey, man, you're doing Jeopardy. You're not one of us. Is Aaron maybe concerned that he is viewed by some in Packer Nation as he's not happy and he just wants to move on, and that there's going to be some people that align with the team over the star quarterback?
I mean, I think it would probably be impossible not to feel that a little bit if you feel like people are turning on you or whatever. But I think he also knows what like the true Green Bay fans are like, and I'm sure he feels strong in what he is doing right now, and he feels like he's justified. So I think everybody there, no matter what happens, and no matter where what people are saying anywhere in Wisconsin, if they say Aaron Rodgers is coming back and he's back and he's ready to roll with an extension, they're going to be pretty darn happy.
Yeah. If I said today, Aaron Rodgers 1 year from today, where do you truly believe he'll be?
Green Bay.
How long before a reconciliation happens, in your opinion?
Jeez. I mean, I'm not speaking for anybody. Like I'm not speaking for Aaron ever, but I guess there seems to be a lot of work to do, but like, I think you can work through everything, but I don't know when that happens. I know what June 1st is when they could possibly trade him and all that. So are we gonna have to wait till then to make any kind of progress?
All right. AJ Hawk, who texted.
I'm confused like you, Colin. I'm sorry. I'm confused like you. I'm trying to figure it out just like the rest of us.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, it's Aaron's public. When you're public, everything's more complicated. I mean, let's be honest. If he was an outside linebacker at 37, made 2 Pro Bowls, I'm not leading my show with it. Like, you've been around Aaron. Aaron lives a big, complex life. This is all, he's got stuff. Everybody's talking about him all day. Do you think he loves that?
No, I don't think he loves that part of it, but I think he understands it, and he knows this comes with the deal. This is how it works, and he knows deep down how great of a player he is and what he can do on the field. And when you can do things like that, guess what? People seem to want to be around you and be in your same orbit. But yeah, it would be tough to think about like day to day. It is. There's a lot on his shoulders, I think.
AJ Hawk, former Packer, 11 years, was at the Kentucky Derby with Aaron over the weekend. All right, man. I appreciate you coming on, being honest with us. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me. I wish I had some more answers for you.
That's okay. I ask questions, you give as much as you can. That's the way the game works. I appreciate it, AJ.
You guys like football? You guys like the NFL draft? You guys like the NFL? I have you covered. I'm John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast. That's where you can hear it. Go subscribe right now. Used to work in the NFL. Now I talk about it on that podcast. Diving in this weekend, Aaron Rodgers, draft value, Eagles draft room. Dive into it all. 3 and Out Podcast. Go subscribe.
So this is the headline of this story is, here is the reported asking price in a potential Aaron Rodgers trade. It should be, here is the speculation in a potential Aaron Rodgers trade. A high-ranking NFC executive. So this is a big exec at the top of the food chain, NFC. Same conference Aaron is in. Said the market for him is 2 first-rounders and 1 second-rounder. And my thought is, well, if that's it, no wonder Green Bay doesn't want to trade him, if that's the market. God, if that's the market, Ron Rivera, coach of Washington, should go to Malibu and stalk Aaron for the next 2 months or buy a membership to some Marriott club in Green Bay and stay there for 3 months. That's all you got to give up? Herschel Walker, a running back, was once traded for 3 first-rounders, 3 second-rounders, and 4 players. Aaron just had the greatest statistical season of his career, was the MVP, 2 first-rounders and a second-rounder. That is it. You know who I think the GM or the executive was? It was Ryan Pace, the Bears GM, who put that low ball offer out there so every other GM would go, that's all they're asking? Get the Packers on the phone, because that is a nothing burger. If I was Aaron and that's all I garnered, I actually, my ego wouldn't be bruised. I'd love it, because I want to go to a team that doesn't have to give up everything. What you don't want to do, I said this yesterday, Carmelo Anthony's a Denver Nugget, says I'll only play for the Knicks, and so the Knicks were trapped and gave Denver a ton, and then Carmelo Anthony ends up on a Knick team that's all of its best assets are now in Denver. What you want to do is, if you're ever moved, they don't have to give up much. So that story, that is nothing. 2 first-rounders and a second. Now, that may be the starting point, but Sam Darnold went for 3 picks. Carson Wentz went for a 3rd-rounder and a 2nd-rounder, and one of those can become a 1st-rounder. So that, to me, it starts with a young player. If I'm Green Bay, I would want a young, very talented player that I got 3 years until I have to pay him, like Jerry Jeudy, Denver Broncos receiver. He'd be my number 2 receiver alongside Devontae Adams, and I don't have to pay him for 3 years. So he's cheap. Then I want 3 firsts, a second. That's the starting point. Like, I'm not answering the call unless we can start there. 3 firsts, a second, and a player who can play. A lot of times general managers, and this is the way it kind of works, a lot of GMs don't want like 6 picks for a player because your team gets really, really young. And as you all know with draft picks, 45% of 1st-rounders end up not being any good. I was talking to Chip Kelly last night, who now is the UCLA football coach, and I asked him, I said, what's harder, evaluating high school talent to college or college talent to pros? And he goes, none's easier. They're both unbelievably hard. You just have no idea. You think you know, and you don't know, and you can do all the homework in the world. So, I mean, you even go to Alabama and Nick Saban. If he brings in 25 players a year, about 6 to 7 are great. 7 to 8 are good. And then there's guys that just don't, they get hurt. It's grades, it's behavior. They transfer out. They can't play. And that's Nick Saban. That's the best. He's offering the 5-star guys. What about programs that have 3-star guys?
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
TJ Hushmanzada has unique insight into this Aaron Rodgers situation because he is and was great friends with Carson Palmer, who did the same in Cincinnati. Digs his feet into the ground and says, I'm out of here, and TJ is now joining me live. So let's go back. You were no longer with Cincinnati when Carson Palmer said enough is enough, but take the audience back. There are similarities to Aaron now and Carson then, are there not?
Similarities, same agent, David Dunn and Athletes First. And so when Carson did this, what was it, 11 years ago, Carson dug his feet in the ground and said, this is it. You guys made multiple promises to me. You didn't keep them. I am not playing for the Bengals anymore. And I'm sure it was very uncomfortable for him. But he had to be uncomfortable to get comfortable, so to speak. And he went to the Raiders and things were solid. But when he got to the Arizona Cardinals, he started to play really well, had the type of seasons year in and year out that he should have been having with Cincinnati. And so that's what confused me. If Aaron Rodgers is kind of backing off of this, his agent, Athletes First and David Dunn, they've been through this before.
If you so you think Aaron should dig his feet in?
Oh, yeah. Steadfast. If this is if you feel this way, and obviously he does because it's gotten this far, you have to dig your heels in. Now, let me say this. I'll put a disclaimer out there. I've never had this happen to me, Colin, but some men and some women that are watching this show, they're going to relate to this. The only way they can fix this is this. You know how you get some men, they're dumb, and they do some dumb things to their wives or significant others, and they have to kiss up, and they go get her a nice gift because they've done something wrong.
Right.
The Packers, they can fix this. Make Aaron Rodgers the highest paid player in the NFL. If you really want him back and you really want him as your quarterback, hey, Aaron Rodgers, we're going to make you the highest paid player in the league. Other than that, we can't work.
So now you know Carson very well. I don't know if Aaron is a little like Kevin Durant. I don't know if he has the stomach to be a villain. And there's going to be a lot of people that are going to say he dates an actress. He's Jeopardy. He's not committed like Brady. He's a diva. He's California cool. There are going to be people in the Midwest that say that. I'm not sure Aaron has the stomach for that over the next 3 or 4 months. Did Carson struggle? You know, because there were people that said, oh, Carson, we committed to you. You don't commit to us. Did he struggle with that?
No. Ultimately, fans are fans. As long as he's playing for the Green Bay Packers, they're going to love him. As soon as he leaves to another team, they're not going to care about Aaron Rodgers no more. And then as time goes by, they will realize his greatness and they will once again love him. You have to do what's best for you. Because you look at the Green Bay Packers, what are they doing? They're doing what's best for the Green Bay Packers. Matt LaFleur is going to do what's best for the Green Bay Packers and himself. They're going to do what's best for that organization. Aaron Rodgers is his own organization. He has to do what's best for him. And whatever negative feedback that comes with it, it comes with it. So what? Water off a duck's back.
I said this. You have been able to come on our show and say, hey, I watched Justin Herbert practice. He's going to be a star. That's just a practice. That's just throwing around in Irvine with you. And I keep thinking to myself, Green Bay has had 100 practices with Jordan Love. They either know he can play or he can't. You can't. I mean, I'm sorry. I have a hard time believing that staff is still, you know, maybe he's good, maybe he's not. Is it possible that Green Bay is freaking out because they've seen Jordan Love and they maybe know they made a mistake and he's not, maybe not the guy?
I wouldn't say they're freaking out, Colin. I look at it this way. Aaron Rodgers was the best quarterback in the league last year. He's the MVP for a reason. And so when he has the type of season that he has, I don't want to get rid of this guy. I don't care how good Jordan Love looks. I do not want to get rid of the best quarterback in the league. And so Jordan Love may or may not be the goods, but the year that Aaron Rodgers just had, even if he was the goods, you want to run it back one more time. And that's just common sense. I believe Green Bay, if they think Jordan Love can be their next quarterback, you still want to run it back one more time with Aaron Rodgers because of the type of year he had last year.
You know what? Let's shift to San Francisco. So one of the reasons I didn't buy into Mac Jones going to the Niners is you can't fool the players. And my takeaway was Jimmy Garoppolo is a thick, good-looking, pretty athletic, move-around guy. And Mac Jones, I've seen all the pictures. You know, he's 6'2", doesn't have a huge arm, not very athletic, doesn't look good with his shirt off, smoking a cigar. And my takeaway was players were going to sniff this out in about three or four practices, maybe five, going, so were you that he'd be the least athletic guy on that team by a mile. This is why I said if you get Justin Fields or Trey Lance, the latter's what they did, at least players would go, okay, he's not ready, but he's 6'4", 220, and he's running around making Fred Warner miss, you know, at practice. And so when they went and got him, I do think some of that weighed in on San Francisco that you cannot fool the players. And that if you got Mac Jones, a lot of those guys are like, come on, bro. You can't tell me we're getting rid of Jimmy G. Take me to kind of being in the league, because I do think Trey Lance, whether he works or not, is a much easier sell to the players than if you say 8 games in next year, we're trading Jimmy G. They look at that athlete and go, all right, he can play. I get it. I see him run around.
Right away. When it's different nowadays, though, Colin. Like, OTAs are starting and guys are out here training and then they're working out. But when you get to practice and it's all the first round picks, and I'll be honest, when I was in Cincinnati, we drafted Leon Hall from Michigan, DB, Jonathan Joseph from South Carolina, DB. They're first round picks. Right away, me and Chad, like, every time we go one-on-ones, we want one of them. We want y'all. Like, we wanted to prove a point against those guys. Like, y'all the first-round picks. We going to put y'all in y'all place. And so had they drafted Mac Jones, they would have challenged him physically. They would have challenged him mentally, emotionally, completely. And if he can't hold up in the locker room, exactly what you said is going to happen. We done drafted this boy. This boy can't even play. We done killed him already, and we just in practice. And that's what will happen. Trey Lance and Ayuk, they're out here in Southern California right now working out together. And so they're already building a relationship with each other and both young guys. But you're right. If they get Mac Jones in there and he can't hold up and they put his feet to the fire and he's crying and it's burning, it's not a good fit. But who knows? Maybe Mac Jones, being at Alabama and what he had to go through, he would have been able to deal with it. You just don't know.
TJ, have a great weekend. Fox Sports, love having you, buddy. As always, you're dressed to the nines. You look fantastic. Hope you have a great weekend.
Colin, I appreciate it. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there as well. You guys take care.